Chapter 2, The Incredible Journey. There was a slight mist when John Longridge rose early the following morning, having fought a losing battle for the middle of the bed with his uninvited bedfellow. He shaved and dressed quickly, watching the mist roll back over the fields and the early morning sun break through. It would be a perfect fall day, an Indian summer day, warm and mellow. Downstairs, he found the animals waiting patiently by the door for their early morning run. He let them out, then cooked and ate his solitary breakfast. He was out in the driveway, loading up his car, when the dogs and cat returned from the fields. He fetched some biscuits for them, and they lay by the wall of the house in the early sun watching him. He threw the last item into the back of the car, thankful that he'd already packed the guns and hunting equipment before the Labrador had seen them, then walked over and patted the head of his audience one by one. "Be good," he said. "Mrs. Oakes will be here soon." "Goodbye, Lars," he said to the Labrador. "I wish I could have taken you with me, but there wouldn't be room in the canoe for three of us." He put his hand under the young dog's soft muzzle. The golden brown eyes looked steadily into his, and then the dog did an unexpected thing. He lifted his right paw and placed it in the man's hand. Longridge had seen him do this many times to his own master, and he was curiously touched and affected by the trust it conveyed, almost wishing he did not have to leave immediately, just after the dog had shown his first responsive gesture. He looked at his watch and realized he was already late. He had no worries about leaving the animals alone outside, as they'd never attempted to stray beyond the large garden and the adjacent fields, and they would return inside the house if they wished, for the kitchen door was the kind that closed slowly on a spring. All he had to do was shoot the inside bolt while the door was open, and after that it did not close properly and could be pushed open from the outside. They looked contented enough, too. The cat was washing methodically behind his ears. The old dog sat on his haunches, panting after his run, his long pink tongue lolling out of his grinning mouth, and the Labrador lay quietly by his side. Longridge started the car and waved to them out of the window as he slowly drove down the drive, feeling rather foolish as he did so. "What do I expect them to do in return?" he asked himself with a smile. "Wave back or shout goodbye? The trouble is, I've lived too long alone with them and I'm becoming far too attached to them." The car turned around the bend at the end of the long tree-lined drive and the animals heard the sound of the engine receding in the distance. The cat transferred his attention to a hind leg. The old dog stopped panting and lay down. The young dog lay stretched out, only his eyes moving and an occasional twitch of his nose. 20 minutes went by and no move was made. Then suddenly the young dog rose, stretched himself, and stood looking intently down the drive. He remained like this for several minutes while the cat slowly watched, one leg still pointing upwards. Then slowly the Labrador walked down the driveway and stood at the curve, looking back as though inviting the others to come. The old dog rose too, now somewhat stiffly, and followed. Together, they turned the corner out of sight. The cat remained utterly still for a full minute, blue eyes blazing in the dark mask. Then, with a curious, hesitating run, he set off in pursuit. The dogs were waiting by the gate when he turned the corner, the old dog peering wistfully back as though he hoped to see his friend, Mrs. Oakes, materialize with a juicy bone. But when the Labrador started up the road, he followed. The cat still paused by the gate, one paw lifted delicately in the air, undecided, questioning, hesitate, until suddenly some indecision reached. He followed the dogs. Presently, all three disappeared from sight down the dusty road, trotting briskly and with purpose. About an hour later, Mrs. Oakes walked up the driveway from her cottage, carrying a string bag with her working shoes and apron, and a little parcel of tidbits for the animals. Her placid, gentle face wore a rather disappointed look, because the dogs usually spied her long before she got to the house and would rush to greet her. "I expect Mr. Longridge left them shut inside the house if he was leaving early," she consoled herself. But when she pushed open the kitchen door and walked inside, everything seemed very silent and still. She stood at the foot of the stairs and called them, but there was no answering patter of running feet, only the steady tick-tock of the old clock in the hallway. She walked to the silent house and out into the front garden and stood there, calling, with a puzzled frown. Oh, well, she spoke her thoughts aloud to the empty sunny garden. Perhaps they've gone up to the school? It's a funny thing, though, she continued, sitting on a kitchen chair a few minutes later and tying her shoelaces. That puss isn't here. He's usually sitting on the windowsill at this time of day. Oh, well, he's probably out hunting. I've never known a cat like that for hunting. Doesn't seem natural somehow. She washed and put away the few dishes, then took her cleaning materials into the sitting room. There her eye was caught by a sparkle on the floor by the desk, and she found the glass paperweight, and after that the remaining sheet of the note on the desk. She read through it to where it said, "I will be taking the dogs, and Teo too, of course," and then looked for the remainder. That's odd, she thought. Now where would he take them? The cat must have knocked the paperweight off last night. The rest of the note must be somewhere in the room. She searched the room, but it was not until she was emptying an ash tray into the fireplace that she noticed a charred, curled piece of paper in the hearth. She bent down and picked it up carefully, for it was obviously very brittle. But even then, most of it crumbled away, and she was left with a fragment that bore the initials R.L. Well, now isn't that the queerest thing, she said to the fireplace, rubbing vigorously at the black marks on the tile. He must mean he's taking them all to Heron Lake with him. But why would he suddenly do that? After all the arrangements we made. He never said a word about it on the telephone, but wait a minute. I remember now. He was just going to say something about them when the line went dead. Perhaps he was just going to tell me. While Mrs. Oakes was amazed that Longridge would take the animals on his vacation, it did not occur to her to be astounded that a cat should go along too, for she was aware that the cat loved the car and always went with the dogs when Longridge drove them anywhere or took them further afield for walks. Like many Siamese cats, he was as obedient and as trained to go on walks as most dogs and would always return to a whistle. Mrs. Oakes swept and dusted and talked to the house, locked it up and returned to her cottage. She would have been horrified to the depth of her kindly, well-ordered soul if she'd known the truth. Far from sitting sedately in the back of a car traveling north with John Longridge, as she so fondly visualized, the animals were by now miles away on a deserted country road that ran westward. They kept a fairly sedate pace for the first hour or so, falling into an order that was not to vary for many miles or days. The Labrador ran always by the left shoulder of the old dog, for the bull terrier was very nearly blind in the left eye, and they jogged along fairly steadily together, the bull terrier with his odd rolling, sailor-like gait, and the Labrador in a slow lope. Some 10 yards behind came the cat, whose attention was frequently distracted when he would stop for a few minutes and then catch up. But in between those hauls he ran swiftly and steadily, his long, slim body and tail low to the ground. When it was obvious that the old dog was flagging, the Labrador turned off the quiet graveled road and into the shade of a pine wood beside a clear, fast-running creek. The old dog drank deeply, standing up to his chest in the cold water. The cat picked his way delicately to the edge of an overhanging rock. Afterwards, they rested in the deep pine needles under the trees, the terrier panting heavily with his eyes half closed, and the cat busy with his eternal washing. They lay there for nearly an hour, until the sun struck through the branches above them. The young dog rose and stretched, then walked toward the road. The old dog rose too, stiff-legged, his head low. He walked toward the waiting Labrador, limping slightly and wagging his tail at the cat, who suddenly danced into a patch of sunlight, struck at a falling leaf, then ran straight at the dog, swerving at the last moment and suddenly sitting down again. They trotted on steadily on all that afternoon, mostly traveling on the grassy verge at the side of the quiet country road, sometimes in the low overgrown ditch that ran alongside, if the acute hearing of the young dog warned them of an approaching car. By the time the afternoon sun lay in long barred shadows across the road, the cat was still traveling in smooth, swift bursts, and the young dog was comparatively fresh. But the old dog was very weary, and his pace had dropped into a limping walk. They turned off the road into the bush at the side and walked slowly through a clearing in the trees, pushing their way through the tangled undergrowth at the far end. They came out upon a small open place where a giant spruce had crashed to the ground and left a hollow where the roots had been, filled now with drifted dry leaves and spruce needles. The late afternoon sun slanted through the branches overhead, and it looked invitingly snug and secure. The old dog stood for a moment, his heavy head hanging and his tired body swaying slightly, then laid down on his side in the hollow. The cat, after a good deal of wary observation, made a little hollow amongst the spruce needles and curled around in it, purring softly. The young dog disappeared into the undergrowth and reappeared presently, his smooth coat dripping water to lie down a little way apart from the others. The old dog continued to pant exhaustedly for a long time, one hind leg shaking badly, until his eyes closed at last, the labored breaths came further and further apart, and he was sleeping, still, save for an occasional long shudder. Later on, when darkness fell, the young dog moved over and stretched out closely at his side, and the cat stalked over to lie between his paws, and so warm and comforted by their closeness, the old dog slept, momentarily unconscious of his aching, tired body or his hunger. In the nearby hills, a timber wolf howled mournfully. Owls called and answered and glided silently by with great outspread wings, and there were faint whispers of movement and small rustling noises around all through the night. Once an eerie wail like a baby's crying woke the old dog and brought him shivering and whining to his feet, but it was only a porcupine who scrambled noisily and come clumsily down a nearby tree trunk and waddled away, still crying softly. When he lay down again, the cat was gone from his side, another small night hunter slipping through the unquiet shadows that froze to stillness at his passing. The young dog slept in fitful, uneasy starts, his muscles twitching, occasionally lifting his head and growling softly. Once he sprang to his feet with a full-throated roar which brought a sudden splash in the distance, then silence. And who knows what else unknown, unseen, or unheard passed through his mind to disturb him further. Only one thing was clear and certain, that at all costs he was going home, home to his beloved master. Home lay to the west, his instinct told him, but he could not leave the other two, so somehow he must take them with him all the way. So in chapter 2, we find out that Mr. Longridge went on his holiday, and he thinks animals are going to be safe with Mrs. Oaks. They start their journey to find their way home, and so when Mrs. Oaks comes and reads that puzzling note, she thinks that for some reason Mr. Longridge decided to take the animals. So we'll just have to keep reading to see what happens next.